We're talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, several things going on right now that I think got quite a bit of impact on rural America, rural Oklahoma. The House Ag Committee holding some hearings yesterday on where we really stand with Dodd-Frank. And I know that that of course, involves Commodity Futures Trading Commission, but also has impact on our community rural banks. And I know that you've expressed some concerns about that.
Oh, absolutely, Ron. Sitting on both the Agriculture Committee on Financial Services, having voted against Dodd-Frank, the so-called Wall Street reform bill after the property boom and bust of 2008, what this has done is set into motion a series of laws and rules and regulations, about a 2,300-page law that was followed by 400 pages of rules and regulations, 400 separate rules, I should say, probably another 200 to go. This has done everything from increase the margins and make it more difficult for farmers and ranchers to use the hedging tools, to use the futures markets, all the way around to the so-called Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, created to look over everybody's shoulder. What this has done is made it more difficult for banks to write mortgages. And you see in many rural community banks, literally they've stopped writing mortgages for homes, which is a critically important thing. The paperwork requirements, the compliance issues. As a young compliance officer in a community bank told me some time ago, the most frightening thing about Dodd-Frank and the CFPB is that in the future they will be held accountable for actions taken in the past by rules that have not yet been created. You talk about legal and economic jeopardy, Ron, and that's unfortunate because the financial services industry in this country was designed to, collect deposits, to allocate those deposits in the form of loans to the greatest need that had the best chance of success. And now the federal government is basically trying to tell the bankers every step of the way what to do and how to do it, and making them do it in multiple pages of paperwork. It's maddening, and customers, farmers and ranchers, will pay more to have less access to credit as a result.
Is there something that can be done about that at this point? I mean, is there some sort of amendments or fix to where we stand right now?
Well, we're pushing back in both the Agriculture Committee with the hearing this week on Dodd-Frank and how it addresses CFTC and the derivatives markets. We're also pushing back on the Financial Services Committee, trying to make sure that the bank regulators and the folks who regulate these financial instruments are following the letter of the law. Don't take, in many cases, what is not good policy in Dodd-Frank, and make it worse by how you implement the laws. 17 months from now, Ron, we'll have a change in administration, we'll have a different set of regulators, and perhaps if we can get something to the president's desk in that next administration that will clean up some of the mistakes that we signed in law. But right now, we're using the hearing process to push back against the regulators to try to get them to follow the letter of the law, not their interpretation of the spirit, and to lay the groundwork legislatively for real fixes in 17 months when we have a different person at the White House.
About a week ago, you were part of a hearing where the Secretary of Agriculture was before the House Ag Committee talking about where we stand on getting the farm policy implemented and just what everything going on at the agency, the department, as far as new computers and everything else. What's your take right now on some of these issues that have direct impact back into the country?
In the overall big picture sense, I think they've probably done a pretty decent job of implementing the 2014 Agricultural Act. So much of it was a dramatic change from the previous series of farm bills. It's been a challenge to implement. One of the questions that I personally put to the Secretary, though, in the bill we allocated $100 million to help meet staffing needs, implementation needs of the farm bill. He couldn't give me an exact answer as to how much of it had been spent and where it had been spent. He promised me a response, which I expect in writing before long, to lay that out. But anyone who's been in an FSA office or in an NRCS office in the last 2 years knows that those folks are working really, really hard, whether it was doing the disaster drought-related livestock language or the crop insurance issues we did during drought or the sign-up for the new farm bill, working with people through the options of ARC and PLC and what level of coverage to take. Those local folks in the USDA offices are working hard, and in the last 10-plus years, the tendency when the department has attempted to save money, they've taken it out of the local offices, not out of the, quote, home office here in D.C. So that's why one of my main points in pressing the Secretary was, we gave you $100 million extra in the Farm Bill to alleviate some of this, to help those folks who work at the counter, who work at the computer screen back home, do their work. Tell me just how much you spent, where you spent, how you spent it, when you spent it, and by the way, what are you going to do with the rest of it? I'm waiting for a response, but I pressed the point hard.
One of the things that was, of course, talked about in that conversation with the secretary, and a lot of folks are asking questions beyond that as well, and that is dietary guidelines. Are you anticipating something very, very soon from USDA and HHS on this?
It's one of those issues where it could pop up at any moment. We've put enough heat on them. It seems to have slowed them down just a little bit, but for our listeners' benefit, this is one of those maddening things where efforts initially started in the White House that have such a dramatic effect on everything from school lunch to the dietary guidelines we all use every day. This has been, in my opinion, one of my personal disappointments in how I've seen all this work out.
It seems like, you know, at this point on some key issues, dietary guidelines may be one of them, but most certainly the waters of the U.S. Clean Water Rule, the fresh beef imports coming from Argentina, Brazil. These rules are all out there, and I know that Congress has been trying to slow them down with some directions from through the appropriations process. And it kind of looks like the appropriations process is having a hard time here midsummer. Are we going to be able to get much direction in that way, you think?
That's absolutely a problem, Ron. It now looks like instead of doing the regular 12 appropriation bills to fund all the different areas of government the way the House wants to do it, the way the law says it should be done, we're probably steering towards some kind of a big omnibus appropriation bill or a series of many omnibuses at the end of the year, probably a continuing resolution to fund up until the point that the big packages are put together. I'm not an appropriator. I know they're frustrated, too. But the political minority, the underlying issue really is the political minority here. My Democrat friends want, and the White House, want to spend more money. And we simply in the House believe we don't have the money. We're not going to raise taxes. So we have to spend what we have or spend less. And that's the frustration. So the other side is attempting through a lot of non-direct issues to bring the appropriations process to a conclusion in the hopes that in the end of the year they could force higher spending. That's actually a big inter-party philosophical battle going on right now. But I repeat, we don't have any new money to spend. We don't have any old money to spend. And that's why so far we've held the line against big increases or increases in spending, and that's leading to problems in the overall appropriation process.
I guess what the collateral damage there is some of the directions that you want to try to slow down some of these regulations with, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we always should remember that the way you fight these kind of excesses by an administration or misinterpretations of the law or manipulation by the political appointees, one, you bring the agencies, the entities, the leadership in, and using the hearing process, you literally fan their tail feathers. What's your authority? What's your justification? Why are you doing this? And you'd be surprised, Ron, in most administrations, the number of times when you call the senior bureaucracy's hand, the political appointees, I should say, you'll back them off. That's not been the case in this administration. The second step customarily is simply then to pass a law that says, no, you cannot do that explicitly, or to remove what they claim is their authority. But that requires the president to sign it, and since he supports his political appointees, he won't sign the bills. The third step then customarily is in the appropriations process. If you can't get their attention in a hearing, if you just can't clearly change the law to make it impossible for them to interpret things the way they want to, then you cut off the money. You simply say you can't spend money to implement this rule or that rule. That's why it's so important for us to have finished the appropriations process in regular order. Simply defund Waters of the U.S. for a year. Defund certain parts of Dodd-Frank for a year. But the other side is pushing back because, one, they want to spend more money, and, two, they don't want us to slow down what the White House is trying to do.
Obviously, we're still a year away from presidential elections and all members of Congress up on the House side, a third of the Senate. As we get closer, I would think, to 2016, though, it's going to get tougher and tougher to get anything done, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially next calendar year, the presidential year, don't be surprised if the White House's attitude is, let's just do nothing. Status quo is in our best advantage. let's not take a chance on making any of these issues a presidential contest debate material. Just basically turn off the lights and hide at the White House till the term's over.
Well, of course, at this point, the president clearly is not doing that right now. He's moving pretty hard, pretty fast.
Oh, he's trying to establish his agenda, but he only has so long to do that because the next presidential process kicks in, and many of the things he's doing, whether it's water the U.S., the way they're interpreting Dodd-Frank, will cause a backlash against whoever his party's candidate is in the 2016 election. So he'll push hard now, probably for the rest, I believe, of this calendar year, but at some point he has to go quiet. Otherwise, he will damage his party's ability to hold on to the White House, and his most important legacy is not having a Republican come in to take his place and undo all of his actions, and he knows that.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas talking with us on the long line from his Washington, D.C. office about a variety of issues today. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.